And sermon take, this is actually four. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And we want to give a shout out this morning to everyone worshiping in Stamford. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 and let's talk about letting Jesus into your boat. Luke chapter 5, letting Jesus into your boat. Let's look at verse 1. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's also the Sea of Galilee, same body of water, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "But master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, at your word, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Father, would you come now and breathe life among us? The letter kills, but the words you give, their spirit and life. Would you come speak living words that change us from glory to glory? If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen, amen. And amen. Launch out. Launch out into the deep. These were the words of calling that Jesus used to call Peter and Andrew, James and John. Launch out into the deep and leave the things of earth behind you. Launch out into the deep and leave behind the life that you've known so far. Launch out into the deep and leave behind the long, dark night. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind your heavy labor and your toil. Take my yoke. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind your past frustrations and failures. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind the sins of your past. Launch out into the deep and discover what God has waiting for you that's exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or imagine. Launch out. This week, our whole congregation is launching into uncharted waters. This week, we're officially launching our new Stamford satellite campus. We've heard the voice of the Lord. We've prayed. We've planned. We've prepared. Pastor Chris and Jeanette and our launch team have been working for more than 5 months now for this moment. I want to stop and say how proud we are of Pastor Chris and Jeanette. I think we should give them a hand this morning. And the whole Stamford launch team, we are so proud of you. Let's give them a hand. Stamford launch team, give yourselves a hand. So many people have taken such huge leaps of faith. Pastor Danny Vincent and Pastor Kimmy Foster have left their jobs at Zion Bible College and they've moved here to volunteer their ministry gifts. There are people who have physically relocated to the city of Stamford to help us launch the satellite. There are people who have changed their jobs and moved, transferred to new jobs in Stamford. We have people who have worshiped here at Harvest Time Church in Greenwich for more than 20 years, and they're taking a huge step of faith to go help us launch the Stanford satellite. Over the last couple of weeks, we have had two incredibly successful preview services. We had over 135 people attend the services. We had lots of first-time guests at both preview services, and the most exciting thing is we had people who asked Jesus into their heart at both of the preview services. We thank the Lord for that. So all systems are go. We're reaching for new heights. We're ready to try things we've never tried before. We're set to go places we've never been before. We have ignition. 4, 3, 2, 1. Our moment has arrived. It's time to launch. And as our congregation launches into something new, I hear the voice of Jesus speaking. Jesus is calling to individuals. Jesus is calling to men and women. He's calling to students. Jesus is calling to someone in Greenwich. Jesus is calling to someone in Stanford this morning. And he's saying, the time has come for you to launch. The time has come for you to launch into a new relationship with Jesus. The time has come for you to launch into a new intimacy with him. The time has come for you to launch into a whole new way of life. It's time for you to launch into a whole new depth. It's time for you to leave behind childish things and to launch into your destiny and your calling in Jesus. Launch out. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to someone in this place this morning, and he wants to tell you that today is different. Everybody look at me for just one moment. This Sunday is different than any other Sunday you have ever been in church before. When we read about the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John in Luke 5, it's extremely important to remember that this was not the first time that any of these men had met Jesus. The Gospels tell us that Peter and Andrew and James and John liked to go out into the desert to hear the preaching of John the Baptist. That's where they were introduced to the ministry of Jesus. So they had already, by the time we get to Luke 5, they had already been around Jesus for a while. In fact, Luke 4 tells us that Jesus had already been to Peter's house. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law on her deathbed, a favor Peter had not asked for. They were already familiar with Jesus. They were cautiously curious about him. They were interested in Jesus. But today was different. Today was unlike any other day that they had ever been around Jesus, because today Jesus was seeking them out. Imagine the scene with me. Peter and his partners had a really bad night at fishing. Someone once said a bad day of fishing is better than a good day anywhere else, but I'm not sure Peter would agree. They had fished all night, laying down a net in the water that was about 100 feet in diameter, and then pulling that net back in heavy with water, pulling it in hand over hand. It was grueling work. Again and again, they cast out the net. Again and again, they pulled the net back into the boat, and it came back totally empty. By the morning, their backs hurt. Their shoulders hurt, their legs hurt, their hands hurt, and most of all, their hearts hurt at the prospect of going home to their families empty-handed. They were tired and they were frustrated. And now they're washing their nets, they're mending them, they're laying them out to dry, and down the beach comes a mob of people thronging around Jesus. And Jesus makes a beeline straight for Peter's boat. Thousands of people were pursuing Jesus, but Jesus that day was pursuing Peter. And beloved, there's a word from the Holy Spirit for someone here in Greenwich this morning. There's a word from the Holy Spirit for someone in Stamford today. Today is unlike any other day. Today is different than any Sunday you've ever known before. You're here this morning and you're a lot like Peter. This is not your first introduction to Jesus. You've already heard lots of preaching about him. Lots and lots and lots of preaching. You've already been around him. You're already familiar with him. Maybe he's even visited your house already. Maybe he's touched other members of your family, your spouse, your siblings, your kids, your parents. Maybe you're even cautiously curious about him. You're interested, but you're just not sure. But here's why today is different. Today is different because Jesus is seeking you out today. Think of it. Thousands and thousands of people are pursuing him, but today Jesus is pursuing you. Today he's coming after you. Today he's making a beeline straight for your heart. And here's what he wants. What he wants is to step into your boat. Jesus wants to step into the very center of your life. The very last verse of this story, verse 11, sums up what Peter's boat meant to him. Everything. Peter's boat was his whole world. His whole life was wrapped up in that boat. It was his livelihood. It was his material assets. It's where he spent most of his time. Someone once said, give a man a fish and he'll have food for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll be gone for the whole weekend. Peter's boat, it was everything to him. It's where his circle of friends were. Verse 7 of Luke 5 calls them his partners and his companions, his compadres, his goombas. They were on the boat. Peter's boat was his very identity. He was a fisherman. Beloved, may God give you grace this morning. Because today Jesus is pursuing you. Today, he's making a beeline for you. He wants to step into your boat. He wants to step right into the center of your life. He wants to step into the center of your relationships and friendships. He wants to step into the center of your livelihood. He wants to step into the center of where and how you spend your time. Jesus wants to plant himself right in the center of it all. Will you welcome him into your boat today? As you weigh your decision, perhaps it would be helpful for you to know what Jesus will do. As I look at these verses in Luke 5, I find several things that Jesus will do if you let him into your boat. First of all, I find that if you let him into your boat, he will take over. He will take over. Once Peter let Jesus into his boat, things were never the same again. Peter was never in charge of that boat again. Jesus became the master of the ship. From then on, they went where Jesus said, when he said. They did what Jesus said, how he said. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus wants to step into your boat this morning. But before you say yes to him, understand this. What Jesus can never be is a passenger in your boat. What Jesus can never be is someone who's just along for the ride. He's not someone you bring along with you to round out your fishing party. Jesus is not a member of your crew. He's not a good luck charm in your boat while you navigate your own course through life. He's not even a backup pilot for when you hit stormy seas. Jesus wants to step into your boat this morning, but before you say yes to him, understand that he can only occupy one place, and that is the captain's chair. Either he is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Do you ever think about the titles that he's called in Scripture? Creator, Maker, Owner, Father, Husband, Head, Shepherd, Teacher, Discipliner, Master, Captain, Sovereign, King, Lord, God. Everything about his titles says he is in control. He is not your follower. He is your father. You're made in his image. You're made under his authority. You are his follower. I have news flash for you today. God is now on Twitter. He has over 6 billion followers. There's just 4 billion that have to read the tweets. God is not your good luck genie. He's your general. His name is not Burger King, it's King of Kings. Mm. See, have it your way is not the motto of his kingdom. And if you tell too many whoppers, you will get flame broiled. Jesus wants to get into your boat. But know this, if you say yes to him, he will take over. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know what those words mean? They mean Jesus is a one-way street. If you travel with him, there is only one way to go, and that is his way. So many times when people find out I'm a minister, I have a chance to have spiritual conversations with them. I was at my daughter's soccer game yesterday morning, and I really just wanted to watch my little girl play soccer. And one of the soccer moms introduced me to another dad that was there and introduced me as a pastor. And so he said, you know, I've been reading through the New Testament, and I have questions for you. And I said, here we go, Jesus. All right, Lord, I'm on duty. Flip the on-duty sign on. Let's go. And we had a great conversation, really a wonderful conversation. So many great questions he had about spiritual things. But so many times as a pastor, I get to talk to people about spiritual things. And so many times people say to me, I worship God my own way. Forgive me. But there is nothing in this book that gives you that right. Jesus is a one-way street. There is only one way to travel with him, and that is his way. Do you ever wonder in the Old Testament why? Why is there page after page of intricate detail about the tabernacle and the temple? It's in painstaking detail, the furniture and the rooms and the procedures that were required to approach ever closer, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. Did you ever wonder why did God include so much detail? It's all in there to send a strong and clear message to us in the New Testament that there is only one way to approach him, and that is his way, through the blood of Jesus, his son. Jesus wants to step into your boat and he wants to take over. Will you let him in? The second thing I find that Jesus will do if you let him into your boat, he will teach you. He will teach you. Once Peter let Jesus into his boat, Jesus began to teach. And if you let Jesus into your boat, he'll begin to teach you too. He'll begin to teach you his word of truth. He'll begin to teach you a higher wisdom than the wisdom of the world. He'll begin to teach you the ways of his kingdom. He'll begin to teach you the way of righteousness, the way of peace, the way of joy. I want to take a little informal survey here this morning, and I wonder how many of you here are manual people? You know, when you get a new piece of technology or you buy a new car, how many of you actually read the manual? Let me see. Let me see by a show of hands. Come on, hold your hands up high. How many of you read the manual? Oh, Jonathan, I knew you were totally a manual person. Tony Fetchy, you're a manual guy? That's good. I would have guessed that. So Danny Phillips, you read the manual? All right. Robert, you read? Okay, let me see. Come on. You actually read the manual. Let me see. All right. How many of you are wing it people? You know, when you get something new, you tear open the box, you turn on the power, and you just make it up as you go along. Come on, how many of you are wing it people? All right, I am a wing it kind of a guy. And I have to tell you, very often I discover, Jonathan, that I could have saved myself so much time and so much energy and so much frustration if I had only read the manual. A couple of weeks ago, I was working on a document that describes the Stanford satellite campus and its relationship to the main campus and how the whole thing will work together. And I spent a lot of time reading and researching and thinking and writing and developing this document. And then this week, a friend of mine called and he asked me if I would fax some pages to him out of our district constitution and bylaws. We belong to the Southern New England District of the Assemblies of God. And so he asked if I'd fax some pages. And so I went, and after about 45 minutes, I found the constitution and bylaws. And then I took it out of the cellophane. And then I started flipping through it to find the pages he was looking for, and I discovered, to my amazement, that there was a whole section in our district constitution and bylaws of helpful guidelines for satellite campuses. I said to Pastor Chris, "Did you know this was in here?" He said, "I don't know." He's a wing it man too. And so I read through them, and I was, on the one hand, kind of proud of myself because everything I had come up with was exactly what was there in the pages. On the other hand, I was kicking myself because I could have saved myself an entire week of work reinventing the wheel. See, we've been given an owner's manual. Our manufacturer has given us a manual. And if you fail to read the manual, you will probably spend your entire adult life in trial and error, only to come to the conclusion at the end that his words were right all along. He'll teach you. My first brand new car that I bought was a 1989 Nissan Sentra. I had a 1971 Dodge Charger that I sold to a junkyard for $250. And I went and I bought myself a 1989 Nissan Sentra. It had four wheels and a steering wheel. It had no creature comforts whatsoever. There wasn't power anything. There was only a rearview mirror on the driver's side, on the outside of the car. There wasn't even a rearview mirror on the passenger side. And I had a problem with that car. The windows, every time it would rain or every time the weather was cold, the windshield and the windows on the side of the car would fog up, and there was nothing I could do to get the fog off the windows. Amazingly, I had a rear defroster in the back of the car, but the windshield and the side windows were fogged up continuously. So for 2.5 years, I carried rags around in my car. And whenever it was rainy day or cold weather, I'd be wiping and wiping and wiping to get the fog off my windows. And I said, "I hate this car. I can't wait till the next 2.5 years are up and the stupid thing's paid off so I can unload it." And I was on my way down to Baltimore one rainy day with a friend of mine, and we were wiping and wiping the fog off the windows, and she opened the glove box and decided to read the manual. And she discovered in the manual that the problem was that my heater, the button, was set on recirc instead of on intake. And she slid her finger across like this, and in 5 seconds, the windows cleared up. 2.5 years of wiping and wiping. And I could have fixed it in 5 seconds if I had only read the manual. Jesus wants to get into your boat, and he wants to teach you. He made you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what is best for you. He knows what will help you perform at optimal level. He knows what will help you achieve peak performance and best results. He wants to teach you. He knows what will bring you fulfillment. He knows what will bring you abundant life. He knows what will bring you peace and joy and success. He knows what's best, and he so wants to teach you if you'll just let him into your boat. A third thing that I find that Jesus wants to do if you let him into your boat, he wants to take you to new depths. He wants to take you to new depths. Jesus will take you to new depths of relationship with God. You see, the disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were already familiar with Jesus. They already knew Jesus. They were interested in him, but now it was time to get intimate with him. Jesus wants to lead you, if you'll let him into your boat, into a new kind of relationship with God that you've never known before. Imagine that the creator of the universe, the one who said, "Let there be light," and bang, there was light. That same God, he wants to have a friendship with you. He wants to come and fill your life to overflowing so that you can cry out to him, "Daddy, dear Daddy." He wants to take you to a new place. He wants to take you to new depths of understanding of this word. He wants to take you to new depths of obedience to the word. He wants to take you to new depths of faith. He wants to take you to new depths of supernatural experiences. He wants to take you to new depths of purity. He wants to lead you someplace new and deep. And the final thing I find that Jesus will do if you let him into your boat, he will transform your failures into success. He will transform your failures into his success. Jesus transformed the worst night of Peter's life into the best sunrise he had ever seen. Can I tell you this morning, if you have it all together, Jesus is not for you. If you have it all figured out, he cannot help you. Jesus said, "I can only help people who need me. I can only help people who need help. I've only come for the sick, not to cure the well." If you have failures in your life, then you're just the person Jesus is looking for. If you've messed up, if you've made mistakes, if you've had personal failures, professional failures, if you've had relationship failures, you're just the person Jesus is looking for. Because when you let him into your boat, he transforms those failures into his great successes. Today is unlike any other Sunday that you've ever known before, because Jesus is pursuing you today. He's calling you today. He wants to step into your boat today. He wants to take over and teach. He wants to take you to new depths and transform your life. The question this morning is, what will you do? What will you do? Will you let him in? Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears me and opens up the door of his heart to me, I will come in. I will fellowship with him and he with me." You know, I believe in my heart that there's someone here in Greenwich this morning. Maybe there's someone in Stanford this morning, and you've struggled in your head with Christianity. There are some things about Christianity you just can't seem to wrap your mind around. You have questions. You have doubts. You keep thinking, but what about this? You know, Jesus doesn't ask us to open our minds first to Him. Jesus asks us to open our hearts first to Him. Jesus is asking you to take a step of faith and to launch out, open the door of your heart and say welcome to Him. You know, it's only one small step. It's only one small step for a man to bow his head, to bend his knee, to lift his hands, to confess Jesus' name. It's only one small step for you to take, but it's a giant leap to abundant and eternal life. Will you let Him in? What will you do? Will you let Him lead? Will you let Him lead? Peter was a strong man. Peter was a strong man physically. Peter had a very strong personality. And it's amazing how he let Jesus lead. Jesus said, put out a little bit. And he put out a little bit. Jesus said, Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter launched out into the deep. Jesus said, Peter, let down your net. And Peter said, you know, Lord, this doesn't sound right to me. It goes against the grain of all my experience as a fisherman. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. Peter, let him lead. Will you? Will you let him lead in spite of your worries about letting go of control? Will you let him lead in spite of your worries about where he'll lead you? Will you let him lead in spite of your worries about what he'll ask you to give up? Will you let him lead in spite of your worries about what cross he'll ask you to take up? Will you let him lead? His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There's a way, it seems right. It seems so good to a man, but the end is destruction. His plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. His results are better than your results. You know, on the question of keeping control of your life, how's that working out for you? How's that working out? Peter was tired. He was weary of things not working out. And maybe you find it the same. And if that's the case, maybe it's time to surrender control to Him. I have an older sister. I'm the youngest of three. I have two older sisters. And when I was a kid, my middle sister, Lisa, and I accepted the Lord. My mom accepted the Lord. My oldest sister did not accept the Lord. And she lived many years of her life without Him. We prayed for her for years and years, and it's an awesome, awesome testimony. The Lord kept sending one amazing Spirit-filled believer after starting in high school and going all the way through her adult life. The Lord kept sending one amazing Spirit-filled believer after another into my sister's life to minister Jesus to her. Sometimes it's hard to reach the people that are the very closest to you because they know you too well. And finally, when my sister Laurie was in her late 30s, she gave her heart to Jesus at her own kitchen table one day over a cup of coffee with her neighbor who was a neat believer. And she said, the hardest thing for me was letting go of control of my own life. But she said, the thing I began to figure out was the harder I tried to control everything, the more out of control everything got in my life. She said, I finally discovered how sweet it is to release control of your life into His hands and to entrust yourself completely to His leadership. Will you let Him lead? What will you do? Will you let Him in? Will you let Him lead? Finally, will you let go of everything else that holds you back? Will you let go of everything else that holds you back? Jesus called Peter. Peter already knew about Jesus. He had already been around Jesus, but today was different because Jesus sought out Peter and He said, Peter, will you follow me? And Peter pulled his boat up on shore. And he left everything and followed Jesus. Will you do the same? Will you let go of the things that are holding you back from following him with your whole heart? Will you let go of the relationships that are holding you back? That romantic relationship with an unbeliever that pulls you down. Those close friendships that pressure you into compromising. Will you let go of the dreams and the desires in your own heart that compete with him for first place? Dreams of success or stardom, the American dream, whatever dream it is, will you let go of it and follow him? Will you let go of the sin that's holding you back? Let go of the cigarettes. Let go of the alcohol. Can I tell you, not a sin to drink, but it's absolutely a sin to get drunk. And the best way I know to avoid getting drunk is not to drink. Let go of the pot. For crying out loud, let it go. Let go of it. Let go of the porn. Let go of the sins that weigh you down and hold you back from following him completely. Here's the thing. If you don't let go of it, pretty soon enough, it won't let go of you. And then you're going to have to go see Pastor Nick. What will you do? Will you let him in? Will you let him lead? Will you let go of everything and follow him? Jesus wants to step into your boat today. I've asked Pastor Dan to sing a hymn that we haven't done in a while. I Surrender All. I want you to listen to the words as he sings. And after he does, we're going to pray together. God bless you as you listen. Love him for 1 minute. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, love him for 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, would you bow your heads all over this place with me? We're going to pray in just one moment. But before we do, I wonder if there's someone here today. Today is unlike any other day. It's unlike any other Sunday. You've heard lots of preaching. You've been around Jesus. He's been to your house. But today is different because Jesus is pursuing you today. He's making a beeline for you today. He wants to get into your boat. He wants to step right into the middle of your life. He wants to take over and teach you. He wants to take you new places. He wants to transform you. I wonder if there's someone here today and you have never invited Jesus into your boat. You've never welcomed him into your heart. You've never asked him to come in to forgive your sins and invited him to come take charge. I wonder if you're here today. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you want to take that step for the very first time and you want to invite Jesus into your boat while heads are bowed, I want you to just reach up to the Lord. It's just between you and God. While heads are bowed, I want you to lift up your hand, reach up to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, somebody else. Thank you. It's just between you and God. You want to invite him in? Come on, somebody else. You want to invite him into your boat today? Thank you, Jesus. You want to invite him into your boat today? Thank you, Father. Come on. The Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here to meet you and rock your world. Come on, somebody else. Lift your hand up high. Reach out to Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want to ask everybody all over this place to lift their hands up to the Lord. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I want to ask everyone if you'd repeat after me and help us. We're going to help some people do this for the very first time and welcome Jesus right into their boat. Maybe you've prayed this prayer lots of times before. You know, it feels so good to pray it again. And some folks are going to pray this for the first time. When you do, heaven is going to come and it's going to meet you like a thunderbolt. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands everywhere and let's pray. Repeat after me if you would. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only son. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart you raised from the dead. I confess with my mouth you are Lord. Jesus, welcome to my boat. Step in right in the center. Jesus, I invite you now to be my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give some thanks to the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, something happened in your heart. And as soon as we close this service, there's going to be friends right here across the front. And I want to ask you to come forward and meet them and just share the decision that you've made. And they want to celebrate with you and they want to pray for you. Come on, lift your voices and